Hi, friends. Welcome. You are listening to the Mom Bear Podcast, and I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell. I go by Mary Susan. Welcome. I'm going to be speaking a little fast today because I have so much ground to cover over a topic that I am incredibly passionate about. And that being said, you may have noticed that there is an E next to this show. I keep it there always, regardless of whether there's adult language. There is in this one, but I keep it there for, and let me repeat that, there is adult language in this one. I keep it there because every single topic is for grownups. I never want your child to overhear something that might make them feel anything like anxious, nervous, scared, any of those emotions. So I keep an E there always so that you will be reminded to grab some headphones or make sure that little ears are not around. And in case this is your first time here, I am so happy that you found us. This is a place that I created for women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, to come together, hang out, share the behind the scenes of our lives, and connect. Now, I'm going to start with the review of the week. I love reading these. Thank you so much for everyone who has scrolled down and left such kind words. It means so much. This one says, my new favorite, I found this podcast on a difficult day and it immediately raised my spirits. It reminded me of all the beautiful and magical parts of raising my daughter with special needs. Your podcast makes me feel not alone. Your stories of your daughter make me cry happy tears. And in general, your honesty makes me feel free to do likewise. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to write that and just for those words. That's exactly my hope. My hope is that as I share stories and as my guests share their lives, that their transparency and their honesty will be contagious and that you will then be able to share your truth. So thank you so much for leaving that. Today we are talking about caregiver burnout. And the reason I decided to do this today is because November is National Family Caregivers Month. Did you know that? I did not until a few weeks ago. This is spearheaded by the Caregiver Action Network, and you can find more information out about them at caregiveraction.org. I think it's amazing that they do this, that we as caregivers, and by we, this is what I'm referencing here throughout the episode. I'm talking to parents of kids with special needs specifically. Now, your child may be an adult, or you may actually be listening to this, and that's not your situation, but you may resonate with it because you have maybe a parent that you are taking care of or a sibling that you are taking care of. I mean, the list goes on. But as I'm speaking, I wanted it to be clear that I'm not only talking to the parents who care for kids with perhaps physical challenges. I'm also talking to the parents that you are helping your children who might have cognitive challenges or sensory challenges. The list goes on. I'm talking to everybody. And as I was thinking about this topic, I Googled caregivers, and I found a really cool article that I'm going to link in the content of this episode. And it's from the Mayo Clinic on caregivers. And it's talking about signs of caregiver stress or burnout and strategies for dealing with it. And so we're going to be going through that. Also, let me go ahead and say up front that I'm going to be sharing a lot of personal stories and stories from my friends. And as I'm doing that, I am not sharing those things to make it sound like I or them have it all together. No, I am simply sharing things that are working or have worked in the past because that's how I found out about these things. I may have never considered going on vacation, truly, until I saw some of my friends doing it that were in very similar situations. And I had to sit down and say, literally, how did you do that? Literally, how did you get on the flight? Truly, how did you find a caregiver that you trusted if perhaps their kids did not go on vacation with them? And let me say this, everyone's situation's different. I am in no way, as I speak in this episode, diminishing your challenges. Absolutely not. I have friends who have been sitting on the beach and they are taking this time for self-care and they get a call, something's going on with their child and they have to figure it out. But I am referencing a lifestyle here. When you look at the blueprint of your life, when you pan out, are you in it? Are you in it? Or are you so consumed by the role of taking care of other people that it you're not sure if you are pursuing your dreams, or maybe you know you're not. I want to help. This is, you'll hear me say in the episode, I want to help everyone create a win-win because the healthiest, happiest you, I've always said it, is your child's healthiest, happiest parent. Okay, I could go on and on, but I'm going to say it all in the episode anyways. So grab some headphones and let's do this. All right, let's get into it. Caregiver burnout. Now, I'll say in advance, this is a topic that I am exceptionally passionate about, and it's something that I think almost all of my work stems from as far as my podcast and my website and the things I write, and my mission is to help women who are raising kids with special needs create the lives they want, not only for their children, but for themselves. It can be like a locomotive that just plows you down and you are scrambling to do all the things. And in that, you can really lose a sense of yourself. I was just speaking with my new friend, Lisa Leonard, about this earlier. Let's see, when was that? Friday. Today's Sunday. You're going to love that conversation. That will be coming out in a few months. But this ability to put other people's needs so high up on the list that we don't even know what we need and we don't even know what we want until we feel like we're drowning and we're at a loss and we don't know which life, you know, we don't know where the life vest is. We don't know where the people are that are going to help. And that's what I am constantly trying to help people prevent is that caregiver burnout, that moment where you realize, oh my gosh, this is my life and I am nowhere in this equation. And I think women do this constantly. I've been speaking with so many people that say, oh, I did that and I don't have a child with special needs, but I woke up one day and it was 20 years later and I have no idea who I am. I have no idea what I want. Last time I remember making a choice just for me was, you know, 1976 or something. I mean, I think this is a very common thing. But when you are caring for a child with special needs, or as I mentioned in the introduction, perhaps it's not a child, perhaps it's an adult with a disability or a sibling who you may or may not have expected to take care of, it adds a sense of duty and a sense of responsibility that becomes so all-consuming that we do not allow the room in our lives to figure out where we fit in. And I'm going to say it, that's on us. You know, that's on us. I think a lot of times we begin to then outwardly blame and say, well, my situation just simply doesn't allow it. Well, this situation, I can't possibly do X, Y, or Z. And it's going to be tough as hell. You know, it may be so hard to figure it out. But I really do believe, and that's, I mean, that's just some super tough love. I really do believe that a lot of us, I'm not saying all of us, and you may not fit in this category. I know there are a lot of people right now who are sitting at hospitals and they're like, no, I really cannot leave my daughter's side. And so I am certainly not making a generalization here. I'm saying a lot of us have the tendency to not imagine a life where we get some time to ourselves, where we get to pursue our own dreams, where we get to reevaluate our passions and fit that into our worlds. We assume that's not a possibility, and then therefore it's not, because that takes effort. It takes pulling up your bootstraps and saying, I want this, so I'm going to do it, or I need this, so let's figure it out. And it takes that type of self-awareness and then action to make these changes. And if we believe that that's not anything that our world will allow, then we are relying on heroes outside of ourselves to swoop in and say, let me take that off your plate. Let me bring you dinner. Let me do these things. And if that's who we're relying on, if our heroes are going to be people other than ourselves, then yeah, you're going to start to get bitter because everyone's going to be letting you down. And that's not fair. And that's not right. And so we have got to make our needs known. We've got to be in charge of our own lives. And we've got to figure out a way to manipulate the jigsaw puzzle so that everyone wins. Because I'll tell you who doesn't win is the child whose mother is not taking care of herself. Our best selves cannot be separated from our child's best parent. That was something I learned really early on. Thank God. We had been in the whirlwind of surgery and the whirlwind of new medications and learning all the things and in and out of appointments and hospital stays. And in that first year, parents, you know what I'm talking about. And for some of you, that may not include special needs that are physical. It may be you're entering the world of sensory challenges or, you know, the list goes on. Those moments, those early days where you're getting your footing. And thank God I had, because I'm an introvert, I have a tendency to, I thrive in my little world. I thrive by being able to be at home and do the things that I'm passionate about. And I had not been leaving the house. I hadn't even noticed I wasn't leaving the house, but I mentioned this in episode one. I think one time I realized it had been 9 days and I hadn't even stepped outside to go get the mail because Sean was bringing the mail in or people who were visiting were bringing it in as they walked to the door. I was unaware of this. I was happy. I would not say I was down, but I would say that I was needing to find a break without even knowing it. So thank God my husband and some friends were like, hey, let's figure out a way to get a babysitter in this house because part of my husband's job is touring. He's a touring musician. So now we know that this is very important, but at the early days we did not. And I was really hesitant, not because I didn't know anybody that could do this. I mean, I was thinking, I started kind of asking around the neighborhood, who are your babysitters? Who's your babysitters? It was always that thing of like, well, so-and-so may be great for your child, but can they handle a seizure? Can they handle a feeding tube? Can they handle X, Y, and Z? Again, those were things, those were barriers that I was putting up to not allow it. Not because those things aren't important. Hell yeah, they're important. Yeah, I'm not leaving the house unless you know how to handle these things. But I was kind of imagining that that person just really perhaps didn't exist. My friend came over one day and she was like, you're going to meet my roommate from college who's moving back into town. She has a ton of experience in this area. She's in nursing school. And I agreed to meet her. And in doing so, I decided, yes, okay, I will leave the house for 2 hours and I will go drive around, go to a restaurant by myself, sit down. And I tell you what, when I did that, when I allowed this person who I trusted and who was trained in this to just take charge for a second, I came back a different person. I did not even know I needed this. And I came back feeling on top of the world. I had so much more energy. I found myself doing things that night that I hadn't been doing, like reading an extra book to AB or just playing and putting my phone down and having the energy to not zone out. And those things were so important that I realized, yes, okay, this does need to be something in my life. And she thrived with it too. Not only did mom come back with, you know, in a great mood and better energy, but she got to be with somebody else. And nobody wants to, my friend said to me one time when I was talking with her, who was in a very similar situation, she was like, nobody wants to be around their mom 24/7. She doesn't want to be around just me. That's crazy. You know, she needs to be around other people. And so that kind of began this world of, oh, okay, it's okay to get some help and it's necessary. Now, if you're thinking right now, that sounds awesome, Mary Susan, but I can't afford that. I can't afford to get a babysitter in here. I can't afford to hire someone who's specialized enough in these fields. I hear you. And I know that that is really difficult. And I talk about that in detail in a different episode. It's squad goals and it's ways to find caregivers, two of which are completely free. I'm not talking about just being negligent here and saying, oh, the kid down the street can probably handle this. I am talking about finding good, solid, trustworthy people, because it's really not an option. It's really not. Because one day you may wake up with strep throat. You may wake up, or you may get a call and you've got to haul it across country to be with somebody you love. And if there's nobody that knows how to handle things, you're up a creek. So we've got to really put forth the effort. But let me say this. I'm not an alarmist. I don't think you should put forth the effort so that when doomsday comes, you have some help. I mean, obviously, we need to be aware of that. But I'm saying put forth the effort so that you can thrive. So that you can thrive. So step one, and I'm about to get into the article. I know I'm kind of on my soapbox here. Step one, I truly believe, is imagining the life that would allow these things. And let me give you a few examples. I had some friends in my world who had children with very similar needs, levels, high level, maybe even the needs varied, but I could see, okay, they're kind of in the same boat. And I saw them go on vacation. And I saw them go on vacation with their children, and I saw them go on vacation without their children. Seeing that allowed me to begin to imagine if that was a possibility for us. Was that a possibility? Having that kind of thought process of what did they do? How did they do that? And asking the questions, very specific questions. Did they take them to school? How did that go down? Where did you find this person? What was it like? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Helped me kind of flesh out that vision so that when Sean and I decided to take our first like 3-day vacation without Abiella, I knew it was possible. And you know what else I knew? I knew it was a non-negotiable. We had been in the throes of a very difficult hip surgery that took months and months and months to recover from. And when we got to a point that we were stable and doing good, Sean looked at me and said, you need a vacation. Because he had been there for much of it, but he'd also been on the road for a lot of it, which meant that I had been basically in the house with, it was a unique journey. You know, you have the huge body cast. Her legs were spread out so wide we could barely fit through a door frame. We had some problems, reactions with medications that she was on. We had it was just a rough and tumble few months. Now, that being said, I wasn't sitting at home needing any help during that time. Abby, thank God, was super patient, and we were able to have a cozy summer in the house and watch videos and listen to music and read books, and we were doing fine. But man, when we got to nearing the end of that and Sean said, you need a vacation, yeah, you bet your ass I did. I knew I needed a break. I knew I needed those 72 hours. And because I had seen my friends do it, I mean, and they had gone on 2-week vacations out of the country because I'd seen, and a friend of mine I'd seen go on 10-day trips to Africa to do things she's passionate about. Because I had this experience of seeing people in my world do it, I could then fill in the blanks pretty easily. I got on my phone. I said, these are the days we're going. I contacted the caregivers that we had in our world that I trusted. And it took 2 people. It took me kind of combining availability. And then I was like, you know what? I can train them. I'm going to be there. They came over. We did all these things. We ran through it all. And it was a perfect plan and it worked. And I got to go on that vacation. But do you know how it could have been? It could have been that I could have said, yeah, but who's going to do this? Who could possibly handle this? Who could, you know, I'm too exhausted. And you've got to be able to dream for yourself. And I talk about this in the episode about squad goals. You've got to believe these people are out there so that you really start looking for them. We'll get into that more in a minute, but here we go. So if you're still with me, thank you. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? I am. And all right, let's get going. So the Mayo Clinic put out this article talking about caregiver stress, tips for taking care of yourself. And here is their definition of a caregiver. A caregiver is anyone who provides help to another person in need, such as an ill spouse or partner, a child who has a disability, or an aging relative. However, family members who are actively caring for an adult or anyone in this category often, and I'm paraphrasing some of their words here, often don't self-identify as a caregiver. Recognizing this role can help caregivers receive the support they need. So yeah, I recognize myself as mom. I am mom to ABLA. You are, if you're listening and you're the mom to a child with special needs, you are mom. That is your role. That's how we identify ourselves. But we have to be at least aware of the fact that our situation, I was telling a friend the other day, I said, your situation is unique. So therefore, your self-care and the amount of work you've got to put in to make sure you fit on your list is going to be unique. And that is okay. Let me give you an example. Last week, I said, I got stuff I got to do. I'm feeling a little bit behind. It's starting to creep up. Now, Sean could tell before I could. He was like, what do you need? I can sense that you're starting to get a little bit stressed. What do you need? And I said, you know what? You're right. I need like 24 hours where I'm off the clock. And to me, my first thought is always, and into his too, is that you need to go to a hotel. You know, you need to get out. I had work I had to get done for school, my schooling, and I'm finishing up my doctorate in special ed. It's hard for me to get anything done in that world when I can be easily distracted. And so I needed just time, a chunk of time. And so he was like, now my tendency was to say, I need that, and then to not follow up. He pulled out his calendar and said, we're figuring this out right now. I'm free Saturday. Do you want to go Saturday? And I was like, yeah. Do you know how much it helped that week knowing that these little things that I was feeling behind on would get dealt with in that chunk of time? And to no one's surprise, I woke up Saturday morning and said, I'm totally taking this time, but I'm going to be up in the guest room. I don't want to pack a bag. I don't want to pay the money to go to the hotel. Now, there are times that I've gone, absolutely, that I've gone to the hotel. If sleeping is difficult, where I would go take a night. You know, I mean, and I acknowledge that there are single parents out there and you're having to find that help elsewhere. So I acknowledge that. But I'm just telling you what I did this weekend was I took that time. I woke up yesterday. I had coffee in bed. I binge watched a cooking show that I'm loving with Sean and Abby. And I said, at 1:15, I'm off the clock. So I got Abby fed. And then I walked upstairs. I grabbed my headphones. I grabbed my computer. I grabbed the things I needed to work. And I went to our guest room. And you want to know the first thing I did? I took a two-hour nap. I took a two-hour nap because I was exhausted. And when I allowed myself to kind of sink into the bed, I was so sleepy. And I was like, I will work better if I have rested. So I took that nap. It felt awesome. I got back up. I went down the kitchen to get a piece of pizza. I took that piece of pizza back up to the room. And I had coffee. I had a good drink. I had an exceptional evening of working and getting a ton of stuff done, knowing that I was responsible for literally zero things. I got it done. I fell asleep at like 11. It's like 20 degrees here, but I cracked a window open so I could feel that cold air coming in and slept like a rock. I mean, crazy, hilarious, funny dreams. Woke up this morning, had coffee in bed, and I had set the timer. I had said too, I'm treating this like a hotel. In a hotel, I would check out at 11. So I'm off the clock until 11. Even I think we made it after. I was like, because Sean was wondering, he had some things he needed to do. And I said, schedule it for after 12. Because if I'm at a hotel, I'm going to check out, probably going to grab some lunch on the way home. All that to say, it cost me $0. And I feel so much better. But I had to put it in the freaking calendar. I had to put it in the calendar. These are the things we've got to do for ourselves. And I had to acknowledge I needed it. There's nothing wrong or that I wanted it. I think that's the other thing is that we wait until we say, oh, I really need this. I really need time. No. Here's the question. Do you want the time? That's reason enough. That's reason enough. Okay. Here we go. So, signs caregiver stress. This is Mayo Clinic. Signs that you are stressed, that you are nearing burnout. It says, as a caregiver, you may be so focused on your loved one that you don't realize that your own health and well-being are suffering. Watch for these signs. Feeling overwhelmed or constantly worried. Feeling tired often. Getting too much sleep or not enough sleep. Gaining or losing weight. Becoming easily irritated or angry. Losing interest in activities you used to enjoy. Feeling sad, having frequent headaches, bodily pain, or other physical problems, or abusing alcohol or drugs, including prescription medications. Too much stress, I'm reading this verbatim, Mayo Clinic. Too much stress, especially over a long time, can harm your health. As a caregiver, you are more likely to experience symptoms of depression or anxiety. In addition, you may not get enough sleep or physical activity or eat a balanced diet, which increases your risk of medical problems such as heart disease and diabetes. This is why I am so freaking passionate. Can you hear my fist on this desk? We do not need to wait until we are experiencing these things to deal with them. But we have got to be aware of our reality that we are living a life that then makes us extend ourselves in a way that you may not see your friends doing. And that's fine, but we've got to be super advocates for ourselves because we don't want to wait till we are feeling these things. We want to be ahead of that, not only for ourselves, but for our families, for our friends, and certainly for our children. We want them to get the best version, the healthiest version of ourselves. It does nobody good if you're extending yourself to the point that you are now experiencing all these things. Let's be advocates. Let's do this ahead of time. Now, if you're sitting here today thinking I resonate with a bunch of these things, we're about to get into some challenges that are doable. I'm not going to say, in 2 days you need to go to Italy, although if you can, go for it. All right. So strategies for dealing with caregiver stress. I'm starting to read verbatim again. The emotional and physical demands involved with caregiving can strain even the most resilient person. This has nothing to do with what a badass you are, okay? We are very resilient. I added that. back to reading. That's why it is so important to take advantage of the many resources and tools available to help you provide care for your loved one. Remember, if you don't take care of yourself, you won't be able to care for anyone else. Thank you, Mayo Clinic. To help manage caregiver stress. All right. Number one, they say accept help. This is a great idea. They say be prepared with a list of ways that others can help you and let the helper choose what he or she would like to do. For instance, a friend may offer to take the person you care for on a walk a couple of times a week, or a friend or family member may be able to run an errand, pick up your groceries, or even cook for you. I loved if you heard the interview with Kelly Hampton, New York Times bestselling author of the memoir Bloom. She talks about how she has one point person in her group of friends where if she knows I need something, she tells that person, and that person then puts out kind of the all call to the group. I think that's really good. I think being aware of what could really help you, because a lot of times people want to help, but they don't have a clue how to do it. They also don't want to offend you by asking or assuming you need help. And people are at a loss. So sometimes you really do need to say it. You know, maybe you have a community center or a small group or a group of friends that you could say, hey guys, this month I'm looking at it and I'm feeling like I could really use some help. Put it out there. Be honest. Say these things. People do want to help. All right. Number two, they said, focus on what you are able to provide. It's normal to feel guilty sometimes, but understand that no one is perfect caregiver. Believe that you are doing the best you can and making the best decisions you can give it you can at any given time. It's true. And you've got to give yourself props for everything you do. You really do. All right. Number three, they say set realistic goals. Break large tasks into smaller steps that you can do one at a time. Prioritize, make lists, and establish a daily routine. Begin to say no to requests that are draining, such as hosting holiday meals. that those are their words. If you, I prefer to host holiday meals. That's for me, everything is different. If you are participating on a regular basis in something that is draining to you, you are your own person. You can eliminate that. Now, I'm talking obviously about things that aren't essential to the well-being and health of your children. I obviously don't say, go ahead and cancel all your doctor's appointments for your child. Hell no. I'm saying perhaps you have signed up for something that is not life-giving. Maybe that's a small group. Maybe that's a book club. Maybe that's a helping so-and-so in the neighborhood. You know what that thing is. It's coming up in your brain right now. You are allowed to cancel that. All right. Get connected. Again, I'm reading from the Mayo Clinic article about caregivers. Find out about caregiving resources in your community. Many communities have classes specifically about the disease your loved one is facing. Caregiver services such as transportation, meal delivery, or housekeeping may be available. That may or may not fit into your situation, but what does fit into everyone's situation is this get connected. This get connected idea of the people in your community that will be available to you. You know, I just walked into the community center to vote and saw a flyer up that said, special needs evening these days. And they provide an amazing experience for individuals with special needs while the caregivers can get a break. Now, I looked at that and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to look into this. I am going to see what they do during maybe summer. Maybe they have different programs during the summer. And I was like, you know, I will be there. They have exercise classes and things like that going on at the same time. And so my first idea was if I decide that'd be something great for AB to participate in, I'm obviously going to call the people. I'm obviously going to see what it's about. And then I would stay. I would stay there, even if I'm outside watching in the window for the first night, the first second. Maybe I do that the first night. The next time I go to an exercise class in the same building, but you've got to connect. Who knows who I might meet in that arena? Maybe I could meet someone who could help me. Should I need another babysitter? Maybe I'd meet another mom who's in the same boat, and we're trying to find families that look like ours. You never know, but it does take an effort. All right, join a support group. A support group can provide validation and encouragement as well as problem-solving strategies for difficult situations. Amen to that. People in support groups understand what you may be going through. A support group can also be a good place to create meaningful friendships. And my support groups have all been online. I have not attended one and sat down in person, although I think they're incredible. And, you know, I know people who've done that and that's their lifeline. I haven't, because I think there's the loophole there is then that you need childcare and you may need a support group because you don't have any help. And some places do provide childcare or care for your individual. They may not be a child, they may be an adult. But I have found that my online support groups have just helped so much. You know, middle of the night, I've got a question, I put it in there, likely somebody's up, they see it, throw in, you know, an answer. Also, you can create a support group. I have a friend who early on, we kind of all found each other on Facebook, and through blogging and things, we realized that our situations were fairly similar. And so she just took the initiative and said, y'all, I'm putting us in a group, 10 people, 10 women. And we still to this day can hop on there and ask a question if we need to. And that's been super helpful. All right. Set personal health goals. For example, set goals to establish a good sleep routine, find time to be physically active on most days of the week, eat a healthy diet, and drink plenty of water. Many caregivers have issues with sleeping. Not getting quality sleep over a long period of time can cause health issues. If you have trouble getting a good night's sleep, talk to your doctor. Sleep. So important. And so many of our kids have a hard time with that. And so one thing that Sean and I have done during the seasons where sleep was exceptionally difficult, we would take turns going, if possible, to a hotel, because then you're just totally out. And unless there's a real emergency, you're going to not know about it. which was super helpful. We would flip-flop, like you go on Monday, I'll go Tuesday. And then maybe the next month we'd have to do it again if we were really, really exhausted. Or you do what I just said and we'd go to the guest room and say you're off the clock for this amount of time. And I know people who have not felt comfortable leaving the house with a caregiver at home, but they did feel comfortable enough just putting headphones in and laying on the couch and taking a nap. I mean, you've got to find the ways to get sleep or you're going to really, really have a much bigger issue on your hands. Okay, seek social support. Make an effort to stay well connected with family and friends who can offer non-judgmental emotional support. Set aside time each week for connecting, even if it's just a walk with a friend. This is a great idea. You can say, hey, so-and-so, any chance on Tuesdays you would want to come over to my house and take a walk with me? Like we could have a regular thing, which is much easier if your child is in school. But if they're not, then think about ways that you could still incorporate that social meetup. For AB, for example, before she was in school, if I had friends come over, maybe they could bring a pizza or we could hang out on my back porch. If she was in the room and we were talking about things that I don't want a child to hear because it's adults talking, I would give her headphones and a fun TV show to watch, Sesame Street, or music to listen to. You've got to just do these things. You know, you've got to find a way. And I think a regular standing appointment, whatever works for you, a lunch, a walk is great because then you get your physical activity in with your social time, whatever it is. Maybe it's every quarter you're going to go stay at an Airbnb with some girlfriends. And that can be super cheap. That can be super cheap. Find an Airbnb that's cute, that's $100. You all split it. $20, you put it in the calendar 3 months in advance. We've got to figure out a way to get these things going. And the last thing the article included was to go see your doctor and make sure that you are doing well, that you're healthy. And I would include in that on a personal note is to consider, if you haven't already, seeing a counselor. See if that's a possibility for you, because that can be of huge it can make a huge impact on people if they get the right person, not just any counselor, the one that's right for you. Okay, I hope this has been of help. Caregiver burnout is real. It is something that you need to be aware of. What you don't want to have happen is that you become aware of it when it happens. You want to know that these things are a possibility and to acknowledge that with this beautiful, beautiful life we have, come some real challenges, and we have to set ourselves up for success. We've got to set ourselves up for success. And, you know, beginning with the things you can do right now, go after this episode. If you have a minute, jot down some ideas of things you can do. Just check in with yourself and make sure that you are not only being an advocate for your child, and for the rest of your family, but that you're being an advocate for yourself. All right, happy, happy Caregiver Month. Let me get the words exactly right. National Family Caregiver Month. We are really kicking ass. I think we are all just amazing. And I am constantly, constantly inspired by y'all. And I love meeting new people online, on Instagram, and getting to kind of put faces with listeners. I am over there at Mary Susan McConnell, MarySusanMcConnell. I would love it if you'd come hang out on that side of the interweb. And guys, I hope you have an incredible week. And cheers to us. Cheers to us caregivers. What a beautiful role and what a challenging role. And we are doing it. All right. Godspeed, friends. I will see you next week.